Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello, everyone. Today, I'm joined by Alexa Shimon, who is a data engineer and has been a part of the Cassandra community for a very, very long time. Alexa, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you.
It's so awesome that you invite me. It's a pleasure to me. Thank you.
Oh, of course. Of course. Well, why don't you just start by telling us a little about yourself?
Well, let's start. It will be a long story. But long story short, I was always into data and the whole data world. I mean, even in school, I was taking part in math camp. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I went to a math camp for 1 week in the summer. I was taking math camp lessons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, and competitions and so on. So it was a trivial thing to start learning software engineering. And I learned business informatics, mm-hmm. which is like a full software engineering plus an extra 30 credits of engineering. So in my thesis, I checked IT financial sector data from the Dow Jones US software to looking for risk. Economic risk, and that's how I got to my first job position, which was a data analyzer company. It was one of my teacher's company.
Yeah, I read that it was one of your teacher's companies. That's so, you must have made quite the impression for one of your professors yeah. to ask you to come on board in a company, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah, well, after winning a special award in, mm-hmm. in the country level with my modeling, there was no job interview. I was just in. So just funny. Yeah, so I started to analyze and recheck their Java written algorithms to the MATLAB algorithms that if they are giving the same result. Mm-hmm. And then there was this Haswell project that they told me that there will be a watch. It is not existing yet, but we will get two watches which have the 4-5 sensors separately in the those. Right. You need to create an MVP. So that was the task requirement. It like solve it. You will have MQTT data, sensor data, and we will process it. There was just some things like, but for example, there was accelerometer data, which mm-hmm. like if an old lady just falls down on the ground, we have to create an alert, like to a hospital or something. Uh-huh. So there was a requirement like that. But anyway, it was like a batch processing to analyze EKG data or heart variability data. So it was like, okay, solve it. There will be user data. And what's next?
Right.
And it's an interesting point that in that time, and this is my first place working on Windows.
Right, exactly.
In the current place. But then I was working on Linux. And So I worked four places. First time on Linux. Second time on a Windows, on a virtual machine in Linux. So still Linux. Third place on Mac. And this is my fourth place where I'm working on Windows, but only my part-time is running on it. So I'm working on servers. So I have no Windows knowledge.
That's awesome. You know, I haven't used, okay, so I've used a Mac for a few years now, but the last time I used a Windows laptop, I did the same thing. I ran like, you know, VirtualBox on it so I could have my Linux desktop. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Yeah, I have my Linux desktop and I had my part-time on that. So it's just...
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I had a Linux and I had 2 gigabytes of RAM. So it just, nowadays you can't imagine you have 2 gigabytes of RAM.
Right? Even my current That's laptop. Not a lot to work with, is it?
Yeah, and it was basically because it was a company that was had to Britain out and higher cost on getting their equipment. Mm-hmm. So they had to get the prices cheaper, but it is another topic. Right. But I had 2 gigabytes of RAM. So solve this whole thing that you need to have something that can be scaled up, for example, to 1 million user, if sure. it will be successful. But of course, it will be running on my lightweight environment. So it just is really funny. So the first thing I was thinking on is like how to manage the load balancing.
Right, right.
And so I started to watch the different Google sites. And of course, I have found Hortonworks and the whole Apache community. Mm-hmm. And I started to check those. But of course, you can't run a Hadoop or something heavier in this environment. But I found Apache Storm, mm-hmm. which is a real streaming environment project. And I could encapsulate my whole logic, the subscription to these MQTT brokers, mm-hmm. Encapsulate the different functions like alarm sendings and writing into something database, storage system. But of course, I had to be like really lightweight because it is real, real streaming and you can like scale up your function to different parallel scale up. So it was easy, like even the setup. And if you will check Apache Storm, you can write, there is an API and code written, can be written in any language.
Oh, sure.
So it's just awesome. You don't like, you're not restricted like with Spark to Python, Scala, or Java. It can be written in any language. So it was really, really cool to adapt as a freshly graduated student who confident only in Java. No, and even the Java code wasn't that hard, like really great and so on. But so I have my load balancer, but what database can handle this amount of writing?
Sure, sure.
So because I want to scale, so even in the time I want it to be big. But it is running on my 2 gigabyte laptop, computer.
Right, right.
So that's when I found Cassandra. So it was like almost 8 years ago when I first met Cassandra, and it was just super awesome and super easy to adapt. Mm-hmm. And it just achieved all of my requirements. And the data set documentation was super clear. So it was a real bit different that I learned mm-hmm. before in normal RDBMS systems.
Right, right.
But it was easy to adapt. And in that time, I could even download and for a free trial the DataSex Ops Center, mm-hmm. which is if someone is not familiar with, you can monitor your whole cluster. You can check the round robins. You can check the data load. You can check everything. So it was easy to show to my manager, to my teacher,
mm-hmm.
What I'm doing. And of course, I had the pipeline. So Storm, Cassandra, Ops Center, mm-hmm. but I had to have data. So what we had is like we got the 2 watches and we were just running down and back and we took it home and we collected data. So I've written a normal like Java Swing application that you wrote, I want 100 users with simulating with this data and I can just push it into the system. So the customer came, we had to show it, so we moved to the 4 gigabyte RAM computer, the whole stuff. And so to be able to present anything, because if you're familiar with databases and systems, like you need to push data into the system to be able to present some flow And of course, it requires memory. And they said that, okay, like push the button, send a lot of data. And of course, the computer got frozen. So it just, but the whole system could run. And it was its environment and the COPPA architecture that was capable to scale if you add more nodes in cloud or more on-demand cluster. If you just connect it to the system, it could scale up. So yeah, it was really awesome experience. And I just got so into Cassandra when I applied to a job to EPAM. My two interviewers were both of them were preparing to the Cassandra certificate. So the whole interview was just about talking about Cassandra. Yeah. So I was just so into it. Like I was talking to them like, okay, connect the servers and then most of them can work. And if you delete one of them, still available. And in Cassandra, you can write to all of the nodes and so on. So it was just, I was talking for almost 1 hour. And we didn't have time to the coding interview one. So it was really interesting and awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you know, I wonder if they were like, if they'd like seen some of the exam questions first and then were like asking you those. So like you were helping them get ready for the exam. Maybe that was part of that.
Yeah. So at EPAM, it was an interesting thing that I was applying to a Java engineering job, but they moved me to the big data competency center. So I was already a data engineer, but I didn't know what the data engineer is. So I grew up on Hortonworks videos. So I was taking part and they put me with 20 of other colleagues to an internal big data training, which was 40 hours per week, training, homework, exam, training, homework, exam in English, like Hadoop, Spark, Elasticsearch, Kafka, Cassandra, Edgebase, security, and so on. So I had a heavy start to knowledge. And then I got to the hotels.com project, which was super awesome. I can practice all of this knowledge on the big Expedia cluster.
Oh, sure.
So it was super cool. So to talk to the support guy to, please, we don't need, the 4 terabytes is not enough for us. Please give us 7 terabytes because we are just running our jobs.
Right. And that's a lot more than the 2 gigabytes you started with. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that time I was dedicated to the triaging part. So to check why the jobs are not running and all of them was running on an Airflow with Spark SQL. So it was really Spark heavy. So of course I had to learn the whole Spark how to use. And that's why I have written a post on LinkedIn to why not to use Spark. So if you just calling functions, it is not something that is good for you. And some cases people say that Spark is not good for that their project because they don't know how to set this up. Don't know how to set the GVM in the executors. Mm-hmm. They don't know how their data behaving because they can't even open or read the Spark UI to how their data flows. So it is just something that first you need to learn because it's just so powerful, but it needs more knowledge to be able to use it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, there are so many people out there who try to use Cassandra with Spark. But, you know, there's just, you're right, there's not enough like documentation or knowledge or, you know, blogging done about it that, you know, it can present that as a path for somebody new who, you know, maybe kind of learning the Spark with Cassandra type of a system. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
absolutely. Sometimes you learn more from the Stack Overflow than from the documentation in these cases, and only if you are stuck. So it is really, really that situation.
For sure, for sure.
So for the next steps, for my career, it was super awesome to be part of that whole environment. I visited the team in London 3 times. I was in the Indra building, so I was really felt this whole atmosphere.
It was
a really nice experiment. But then I saw that maybe sensor data is more for me.
Right.
So I changed a job again after working for the hotels.com for 3 years and after my internet training. And I get into a smart factory company. The goal was, and it was a cloud-based environment and an infrastructure that they created.
Okay.
So to create like a forecast, like when the different machines will be able to work by getting sensor data, like how many, what is the machine's temperature and other things. So it just get a smarter decision when you are planning, for example, to get a new machine and so on. So it was an interesting thing. For example, I had to create projects and I had to go to one of the factory, like a sunflower oil factory. I got a book. I had to learn it. They showed me all the machines and I had to talk with people there that how they are working and had to learn the whole process to be able to calculate that how many sensors I will have, what actions we'd have, how they will use it, what for example SQL knowledge I can teach to them. For example, in that case Cassandra wouldn't be an option,
right?
Or other databases, because first I needed a sensor database. So even if Cassandra is possible to that, they would maximally know some minimal SQL knowledge.
Right.
And Cassandra is not that.
<That's>
and so what I use there is TimeScaleDB, which is like a powerful Postgres. So it's a scalable Postgres for sensor data.
Oh, okay.
And so it is really lightweight SQL that you are just get familiar with MySQL, but still it is on sensor data and scalable fully. So it is really important to check different checkpoints when you're choosing a database. Like, and one of them is like, who will use it and how will you use it? Is there someone who will manage the database? And if you install in some databases, you need to recheck, you need to, like for Cassandra, you need to write and create a table for the queries. So if you have a new table, a new query, you need to replicate the data, you need to optimize it for the maximum like reading time.
Oh, right.
And so on and so far. But in this case, I had to create a pipeline, but there was no one to manage it. So it's just not something that you can leave it for them.
Oh, right.
So that was an interesting area. But the other situation that was here is that we're working with projects. And if you are working like a project, but well, I wanted to say bucket, but like limit, a budget limit, like the customer pays like X coins or dollars for this database setup, and you need to land it in, I don't know, 4 months. And that's all. You can't add any more value because the customer didn't pay it. So it's just a different scenario than I was with EPAM, because with EPAM, the customer bought my time, so I could maximize my work.
Oh,
but
sure,
here,
sure.
I couldn't add any more value. So it was a really difficult thing for me to improve my knowledge, because I was like limited. So that's when I choose, like, okay, I change another time my job, because I want to find a company where I can work on a product.
Mm-hmm.
I can grow, and there is no limit, because yeah. I had never had side projects that is just hanging in the GitHub somewhere. I always had side projects that was connected to my daily work.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even, for example, this week we are just deploying one of my pet projects here.
Wow. Well, Alexa, this is all so cool. And you know, it's not often that I get a data engineer actually on the show. So this has been super cool. You know, there's one question that you know, that I do get a lot, where you know, folks will ask, hey, what's the difference between a data engineer and a data scientist? You know, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, sometimes I feel myself a little bit of a DevOps.
Oh, a little bit of DevOps. Yeah.
A little bit about a data architect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And a little bit about like a data cleanser,
okay.
Or data prep processor.
Yeah.
So it's just a combination of those. So I like to say that I'm in the middle of everything. Like I'm hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay if my work is invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Like business, data scientists, other software engineers, and the background really close to the DevOps.
Sure.
But in
sure.
between the other software engineers and data scientists and
okay.
everything.
Okay.
So I'm not visible from setup, but I'm not visible from reacting or like showing business value in a way that I prepare the data, I can prepare everything till the point that the data scientist can present. So mm-hmm. even today I made different tables, views, and so on, and then communicate back with the team that collected the data, how I need to understand this. Then I explain it to the data scientist, because I'm just in the middle, like,
okay,
which is
okay.
like a glue that holds everything together.
Oh, that's
not
cool.
Me, but the data engineers. Yeah.
So, you know, if there's anyone out there who, you know, maybe wants to be a data engineer, what would you say to them if they're just getting started?
Find a use case. I mean, it is difficult. And I remember when I started, I was stressed, because I knew I wanted to grow. I knew I want more. And I was impatient. Even my seniors told me that read this one and you will get there, and you just do your daily routine and you will get there. What I would say is, like, get used to the thing that you will learn, and you will challenge yourself till the end of your working career. So it will grow. But how you can get there is like daily challenges, and
oh, sure.
You'll never stop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I told you to find a use case, even if it is something that in your imaginary, you need a concrete point
mm-hmm.
to check your checklist. Who will use it? How will use it? Who will manage it? How they will query it? How you will get the quality of the data to it? How you will get the data there?
Mm-hmm.
How will you represent the data? Because if the data is just sitting in a database, no one will use it.
Oh, right.
So
right.
It's just data engineers is like the people who prepare everything so the data scientists can give value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's just really important our job is. And whatever is your that person goal, find a use case. streaming or batch processing.
Mm-hmm.
Probably batch processing will be an easier start, but streaming can be a good thing too. But I would say, and how one of the things that I keep myself up to date, check the job descriptions. Even if you are not looking for something new, you will see that the people around you are what doing.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
So even if you are just don't know because you are in your daily routine, there is a environment you are working on, but it can be that there is a new tool that will be even better in your company. So it's just always learning and follow people on LinkedIn. And
yeah, that's a good one too. Follow folks on LinkedIn. Yep.
And what I say, I don't know, not always, but what I say is like data engineers are like a big family. So it is not something that I see in like UI or UX or engineers or data scientists. Data engineers are like we are suffering together group. And you can write to any of us and they will answer. So it's just so, so cool that you belong to a family and you need to use this family to learn and ask.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome, Alexa. That's a really great answer. All right. Hey, Alexa, thank you so much for taking the time to sit down and have a conversation with me. This has been really great. Like I said, I don't talk to a whole lot of data engineers, so I think this has been awesome. So thank you so much.
I thank you. It was really great. And thank you. And maybe see you in another time as well.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.